Well, Wednesday nights are usually Jim's talking about faith and healing. And today I wanted to talk about how they will know we are Christians by our love. And it is actually still a continuation of faith, because the Bible says in Galatians 5:6 that faith works by love. So tonight I'm not going to use any scriptures that you've never heard before. They will be scriptures that you have maybe even memorized. They're well-known scriptures, but there's something about bringing back to our remembrance things. And just because we heard it doesn't mean that it's not good to hear it again. And sometimes we can hear it and we're in a different place in our life and it means something different to us the next time that we hear it. And so tonight, I wanted to just talk a little bit about the fact that as Christians, we have something, a hope. We have an expectation that our lives are supposed to be different. You know, statistics show that Christian marriages versus marriages that aren't Christian, they still have about the same divorce rate. At one point, the thing I was looking at was saying 50% divorce rate. I don't know how many years ago that was, so I can't tell you. I really did a lot of in-depth study on it. But anyways, maybe about 50% of marriages, whether they're Christian or not Christian, end in divorce. And you know, as believers, we're supposed to have a difference. We're supposed to be different than what the norm is out there. You know, we're supposed to, we've got God Almighty on the inside of us. We're supposed to be different. Those statistics that work maybe for the world is supposed to look different in our lives. And I'm here to just say it can and it will. And it is possible, and all things are possible with God. God, in Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken? And will he not make it good? That should be a scripture we all memorize. I mean, that is so powerful. If God said it, will he not make it come to pass? If it's in the Word of God, is that not something that's for us that we can bank on? Well, you know what? There's that scripture that says, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. Well, I don't know why it's not working, but it's not working for me. But it says that God is not a liar. And if he said by Jesus' stripes we were healed, that means as Christians, we should be walking in health. If it's not happening today, what, do we just give up and say, well, it didn't work? No, the hope that we have is that it does work. And even if I don't see it right this very minute, it doesn't mean that it's not working and that I am not going to experience it. And a lot of times, the same way that the world is looking at things, if we're not careful as Christians, we begin to look at things the way that the world looks at it. The world looks at it that if I see it, that means it's the truth. That's fact. And God says that as we have faith in what his word says, that what he says is more true than even what our eyes or maybe our body is experiencing. So the truth of God's word trumps whatever our senses see, feel, smell, whatever is going on. The truth of God's word is more powerful. And so if we keep on to that fact, like Numbers 23:19, If he has spoken it, will he not make it good? If he has said it, is he gonna back out? No. No. Well, he backed out on so-and-so. How do you know? How do you know? Pastor Hagin says this thing, I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. If we don't quit, if we don't give up, then it has to come to pass, because God does not back down. He is not a quitter. He's not a defeated foe. The devil's the defeated foe. And as long as we continue to stand and believe what the Word of God says, it will come to pass in our lives. But the devil is doing his best to get us discouraged, to get us to throw our hands up in the air and say, it didn't work, I don't know why. No, this scripture, you come back to it and said, God's not a liar. And if he spoke it, then he's gonna make it good. And he's going to make it good in my life. He's going to make it good in my marriage. He's going to make it good in my family. He's going to make it good in my job situation. He's going to make it good wherever I go, whatever I do. It's going to prosper, because that's what God says about me. I am going to prosper what I put my hands to. And so as we get into this point where we have this faith and this trust in God, we believe that if he says it in his word, that means it's going to work in my life. So if he says to love, even when I don't feel like loving, if I love, I'm going to reap the benefits of love. And so God is love. So that should tell us right there that there's some victory in love, just because that's who God is, and God is not defeated. So if he is love, then obviously there's some power that comes with love. And he also, the Bible says that love never fails. In 1 Corinthians 13:8, love never ever fails. 1 John 4:7 is where it says that God is love. And because God is love, we're supposed to love one another. That's why our marriages and our families should be exuding the love of God. Because God never fails. His love is on the inside of us. He is helping us, and therefore we look different. People should look at you and me and say, hey, you are different. There's something that you have that I want. The thing that we are constantly doing is pointing people to God. What about us points them to God? Our love. Our love is what they see that everybody's hungry for love. You know, gang members are hungry for love. They go to other gang members to go and find camaraderie, people that like them. And you know what? The problem is that there's other gang members that are in a different gang that don't like them just because they're in this gang, and it's very dangerous. So my word of advice to you is don't go to gangs for love, all right? it's very dangerous. Stay away. Don't do it, all right? But on the other hand, everybody, even the roughest, toughest, meanest people, are looking for love. And the love that they're looking for is on the inside of us, on each and every one of us. That is what people are drawn to. That's what people want. And so we've got it on the inside of us. So on a side note, there's a plan of God for every single one of us. We were born with a purpose. We were born with a destiny. We were designed, created talents were put into each and every one of us. Those talents, those giftings, those things are what causes our path to cross other people. Part of the plan of God for our life is people. That, you know, and yet, that's probably the trickiest part of the plan of God for our lives, is people. You know, because people think differently than you do. People can be messy. People can say things that are hurtful. People can hurt people. You know, it's just, it's kind of messy. And yet, that's part of the plan of God for our lives, our people. And as Christians, how do we reconcile that? Because on the one hand, I don't believe that God wants us to be walked on, but on the other hand, he wants us to love. So how do we go about loving people that are willing to hurt you? And sometimes the person hurting you is your spouse. Sometimes it's your children. Sometimes it's your parents. Sometimes it's extended family. Sometimes it's people on the playground. Sometimes it's people in the work. Everywhere you go, there's this chance that you could be hurt. So a lot of people start putting up walls and start, okay, I would rather stay at home with the door shut, the TV on, or whatever, read a book or whatever. And there are times where it's good to have solitude time, but then there's times where God said we need to have fellowship with one another. Unfortunately, there's people that have been hurt in churches, and so therefore they don't want to go into church because they're afraid to get hurt. They put their wall up. Well, who was more than happy to help them get hurt? So that they would put their wall up and stay at home. You know, who's the motivator in those kind of things? We have to really see clearly of who is motivating us to not want to love. Who's motivating us to not want to be around people? Who's motivating us to want to skip the family Thanksgiving dinner or the Christmas social or whatever is going on? Who's motivating us to want to run to the door even though we don't have anywhere to go right after church? I'm just saying there's things that are at work on the inside of us that are trying to make us isolate ourselves, that are trying to get us to be inward instead of outward. But God is not an inward God. God is an outward God. God is the one who sees a need and wants to help. God is the type that even as we reject him, he is running to us with the answer. He's the one that sent his son to die for us in spite of the fact that people were going to kill his son. The very people that he wanted to save were the very people that were killing his son. And yet, God still loved. And yet, God still reached out. And so, God's plan for each and every one of us has people in it. We're going to cross people's paths. John 13:35 says, I'll just wait for a second. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So the world is going to know that we are followers of Christ if we have love for one another. So that means we have to have love for our spouse. That's one another. We have to have love for our parents. That's one another. We have to have love for our children. That's one another. And we have to have love for fellow Christians, even if they're not perfect. Jesus loved us even when we weren't perfect. That's the whole reason why he came, is because we weren't perfect. It's the whole reason he died, is because we weren't perfect. And we're now filled with that kind of love. So even though our spouse isn't perfect, even though our children aren't perfect, even though children can say, even though my parents aren't perfect, even though the person sitting in the same row in church with you is not perfect, we are still to love. It doesn't matter who is with us, who's around us, we are made to love. And so that requires faith. It requires a lot of faith in certain cases, you know? I mean, there's sometimes, what does it say? Where sin does abound, grace does abound more, because there's a lot more grace that's needed to cover the sin. Well, you know, sometimes there are certain people that just require a lot more faith to love. You know, there are certain people that in our lives, it's just so easy. They like you, you like them. It's just one big happy family. It's so awesome. You know, but we're not always, every person in our life is not like that. And sometimes it requires faith to, you know, they say something and the first thing you want to say is, what do you mean by that? That's the first thought that comes to you. Whereas somebody else could say the exact same thing and you're like, oh. And yet then somebody else says it and you're like, what did you mean by that? Huh? I know you said, you had an attitude when you said that. I know there's something deeper. And you know what? The person that usually gets that the most is your husband or wife or your children, you know? Because usually by the time you come home or whatever, you've had a long day, you're tired, maybe a little stressed, and they say something like, oh, your hair looks good today. And you're like, what? Did it not look good yesterday? What do you mean by that? And they're like, wait a minute, I just gave you a compliment. And they're like, oh, you look like you've lost some weight. What? Did you say that I'm fat? What? You know what I'm talking about. You know, they can say you have the prettiest blue eyes and somehow you think, what, do you like brown eyes better? And they're like, what? How did you get that? I just said I liked your blue eyes. Anyways, those kind of things are constantly at work to where we are being critical, is what it boils down to. And we have help to be critical. We have help to be judgmental. We have help to believe the absolute worst of that person that's in our life. And yet, if you were to sit two people down and say there was this argument that happened, and just terrible things were being said on both parts. The wife is saying terrible things to the husband. The husband's saying terrible things to the wife. And the wife believes every word at that moment that her husband is saying. And the husband believes every word that the wife is saying. Even though they're both in a fit of rage, they believe everything that's said at that moment. And they forget all the wonderful words that were said when everything was peaceful and kind and, you know, oh, you're so wonderful. I don't believe you. You don't mean that because you're saying this now. But all of us know that when we are in a, you know, not in a calm, peaceful state of mind, sometimes we say things that we don't believe, that we don't really mean. And that's when we have to believe the best of the other person. Maybe they didn't actually mean what they said, but it came out of their mouth. That's what they really think. That's what they really think when they're mad. But when they're not mad, that's not really what they think. And so we have to be gracious. And, you know, think, okay, I'm going to believe the best. They're not really a scumbag that they are acting like right now. So I'm going to choose to believe that you really didn't mean what you just said, right? I'm just going to walk away and pretend none of this happened. I'll come back in a couple minutes, okay? Maybe a couple hours. All right. All right. Whatever it takes. I'm going to go up and I'm going to pray. I'm going to get in the right frame of mind before I say what I really want to say. Because right now, if I were to say something, it's not really what I want to say. You know, sometimes we have to walk away, whether it's our spouse, whether it's our children, God or our parents or whoever is in our life. Some other Christian in our life. God is shining through us when we are exemplifying His love. When we are showing His love to people around us, He is shining through us to those people. So we can have faith in God's word, and we can have faith that God will heal us, that God will take care of our finances, that God, has a plan for us. But another area that I am always amazed at, that sometimes we forget faith, is faith in people. Believing the best about people. There is no one in this room that is perfect. There's no one on this planet that is perfect. And you know what? As a church, these are the people that we're working with. We're in the same body of Christ together. And none of us are going to be perfect, and none of us are going to do everything right, and none of us are going to say everything right. And yet, this is the company that God has put us together with. Now, when you get married, you chose that person originally, and that person looked awesome. Otherwise, you wouldn't have married them. They looked really, really good. And then you got married, and all of a sudden, they start being imperfect. They were pretty perfect when you were dating, and then you got to know them. And then you realize they're not perfect. And at that point, you have a decision to make. Am I going to live my marriage the way that God would have me to live my marriage? Or am I going to live my marriage the way that the rest of the world lives their marriage and have the same results? The difference with us is that we have faith in people. We have faith in our spouse. We believe, we focus in on the good of that person. We're not wanting to focus in on everything that they do that's stupid. Because you know what? We don't want them to focus on everything that we do that's stupid. It makes for a miserable life. But if we continue to start believing, you know what? I love this person. I love this person with all my heart. Sometimes you have to really pray, God, help me to love this person with all my heart. And sometimes it may take a while to believe that you love that person with all your heart. But you are starting to have faith. You have to believe in your spouse. You're their greatest cheerleader. If you know what? They go all day long in the workplace or wherever, and they're dealing with failure. They're dealing with attitudes. They're dealing with all the stuff. When they come home, it is really nice to have somebody on their side. And so we as Christians want our home to be that atmosphere, like, you know what? I don't care if everybody else doesn't like you. I think you're awesome. You're amazing. And you start reminding them of all the things that you like about them. You know, kids can do that with each other. Siblings can do that with each other. They can come home and agree with everybody else at school, like, yeah, you have weird hair, you know, or your nose is crooked, or whatever. You know, kids, they just say weird stuff sometimes. They focus in on weird stuff. But we, as siblings, you can agree with everybody else at school about your brother or sister, or you can be their best friend and be their best cheerleader and say, you know what? Shrug it off. That's not true. Your nose is actually pretty straight. If you look just like that, it looks perfect. Whatever you need to do. But you're the cheerleader. You're the one that, instead of it being one of those things where you're dumping with everybody else and pounding the person down, we're the ones that they're coming home to, and that's a safe haven. Ideally, it'd be nice if both parties were doing that. Be nice if the husband and the wife, the brother and the sister, the parent and the child, whatever the case may be. It'd be nice if everybody involved were endeavoring to walk in love, but sometimes there's cases where that's not happening. And so what do? Oh, it's not going to work. God's word doesn't work because they're the problem. And yet that's what we see a lot of times happening. Like, okay, if they're not going to work with me, then forget it. I quit. It's not worth it. But that's when we have the same results as what the world has. That's when our marriages begin to look the same and our families begin to look the same as the world. And so what we have to do is look different. And how does that happen? By being different. By being different. By having faith in that person in spite of maybe the stupid things they're doing. You know, believe the best. They come home, they're grouchy, they're frustrated, and they're taking it out on you. And the first thing you could say is, what'd you do that for? You know, just get an attitude right back. What? You want to give me some attitude? I'm going to come right back at you. All right? Or you can look at it as, okay, is there something that happened today? You look a little upset. Should we just talk about this later, or should we talk now? Feel the situation out. It may not be a good time to even ask. It may just be like, here's your favorite cup of coffee. I'll see you in about 10 minutes. And walk away. Whatever. You know your spouse better than anyone else does. So you're going to figure out what works in those kind of situations. And as you are doing that, you are starting to change the pattern of what's going on in that relationship. All of a sudden, instead of you biting their head off because they came in and were unbearable to be around, you started working and saying, you know what, they're probably under stress. Maybe they're not a jerk. Maybe they just had a bad day. And right there, you are beginning to believe the best about someone. You are giving them the benefit of the doubt. Well, you know what? If I were in their shoes, maybe I wouldn't be feeling very good right now. And so therefore, I'm going to go easy on them right now. And as we do that, what is at work in that relationship with whoever it is that we're dealing with? God's love. And God's love never fails. God's love always works. Because, you know, everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to be accepted. Everybody wants to be cherished. And if we are starting to give some of that to our spouse or to our children or to whoever, there, it may not be right away. Some people have been so hurt and so messed up from the time that they were a child that they may get uglier. You're walking in love and they get uglier and they get meaner and they get harder to live with. But do we quit? Say it didn't work? No, because back to Numbers 23:19, if God has said it, will he not do it? If he's spoken it, will he not make it good? Half the time, it doesn't work because we quit too soon. You know, okay, day one, I'm going to love this person. And you're nice and they get in your face and you're like, ah, didn't work. You're so mean, I'm not going to even try. And you walk away and you storm out and you're mad. Well, then day two, do it again. All right, that didn't work. But day two is going to work because I'm not going to get mad. Or God, please help me not to get mad no matter what they do. Help me to just think clearly. Help me not to yield to my emotions at this moment. And as we do that, it will get easier and easier on our part. And then you can tell yourself, all right, they can be ugly all by themselves. They're being ugly with you, all right, that's fine. If you want to do that, that's fine. And you just kind of let them be ugly all by themselves. But you don't let it come and hurt you. Because at that point, you are trusting God that his power, which is in his love, is at work. It's the same thing that we do when we're believing for healing. All right, I'm believing by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Okay, day two, I still feel a pain. Okay, I can quit and say, well, that didn't work. Or I can believe, okay, I still feel this pain, but the power of God is working in my body. It's the same thing. We're doing it with faith in people. We're doing it with faith for our body. We're doing it for faith for our finances. We're doing it for faith on the job. We're doing it wherever we go. Faith in our church. Faith wherever God has us. It isn't always easy. And you know what? People in the world work hard for certain things. I don't know why, but I was thinking about Curt Schilling. You know, he was on the Red Sox. He was a pitcher. And the Red Sox hadn't won a World Series for 86 years. I am not a big sports fan, but for some reason this came to me, so hopefully this will connect with someone out there, okay? They've gone 86 years without a World Series. They're losing to the New York Yankees, which of all people, that's the worst team to lose to if you're in Boston. So he has this awful injury on his ankle, and it's his turn to pitch. So they doctor him up, whatever, get him out there, throw him up on the mound and say, go have at him, and he pitches spectacularly. But I'm sure it still was painful because they have the sock to prove it. In fact, it went for like $94,000 at an auction because it was the blood sock that showed that he had, you know, pitched all those innings and did great and they won. And so the point of it is that it wasn't easy, but he did it. You know, Michael Phelps, I've read, had to eat tons and tons and tons and tons of food. Now, for some of us, we're like, wow, sign me up. But after a while, day in and day out, you might get kind of tired of having to eat that many calories to go swim as much as he swims, or swam, or whatever the word is, the tense of that word. Anyways, but he goes and does it. Why? Because he wants some gold medals. And he got those gold medals. People in the world work hard for what they want. So, as Christians, God says he's going to prosper what we put our hands to. If we are working hard on our marriages should be the best. If we are working hard on our families should be the best. If we are working hard in our relationships with fellow believers, those relationships should be awesome. And so that is what God will do in and through us. But it doesn't mean that it's just going to fall on us. It doesn't mean that there isn't work. Sometimes, you know, it'd be really nice to win the lottery because then you didn't have to really do anything for it, but you got all the money. But the Bible says that we have to work. That's part of it. When you to prosper, you work. You put your hands to something and you prosper. And that's kind of how God set things up. And so if we are doing something, if we are putting our hand to something, we have something to believe in. We can trust that God is going to prosper what we put our hands to. And then we can expect raises, bonuses, whatever. Says that a man's gift will sometimes put him before kings. We can expect things to happen because we are developing the gifts on the inside of us. And as we are doing that, God is blessing and prospering us. Well, the same thing happens in our relationships. If we are trusting him and allowing him to work in us, and we are beginning to believe the best about those, it does not take anything to be critical. It is not hard at all. You can turn on the TV and find lots of negative of everything. Anything you want to be negative, you can Google it and find somebody else has that same negative opinion. Everything out there is negative. It requires a lot more to believe the best. And yet, God gave us the Holy Spirit as our helper. And he wants to help us. He wants us to reap the rewards of a beautiful family, of a love that we are supposed to experience in marriage. He wants us to have all of those things. And he has given us the way. It's in his word, walk in love. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. I'm telling you, this is not a new scripture for any of you probably, but it is powerful. This is how you have a good marriage. This is how you have a good family. This is how you have a loving church body of Christ. This is how the power of God begins to be a force on the inside of you to the world. Love suffers long and is kind. Now remind yourself, you're not doing it in your own strength. This is why we have the Holy Spirit. This is not in and of ourselves that we've just got to work this up and cut. But we do have to yield to it. We do have to make a choice to come back and have the attitude or to say, oh, I'm going to bite my tongue. And sometimes you might even have to make that tongue bleed because you're really biting that hard. Because it's not easy not to say things sometimes. But love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. We don't want to envy our spouse. They're on our team. What's good for them is good for us. If something's happening for them, praise God. they're on our team. Hey, can I get in the picture too? You know, rather than, oh man, if you, you know, you can't have that happen because I'm supposed to have that. And then there's like this weird competition. No, you're on the same team. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It's not, hey, you do it my way because I'm smarter than you. What good is that going to do you in a marriage? No, we are together. We're helping each other. Does not behave rudely. Just because you had a bad day at work doesn't mean that you have to make the whole household have a bad day at home. You know? It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. This is the way I want our home to go, and this is how you're going to make it happen. You know, it's kind of this teamwork. You have to work together. It is not a domination. You know what? It's not an entitlement. You're my wife or you're my husband, so therefore you have to. That doesn't work. How many in here like to do something because you have to? You know, how many of us really like to pay our taxes because we have to? You know, but if I have the opportunity to give to someone and it's my choice and I want to do it, I love to do that. But if it's mandatory, it's not as fun. So in a relationship with someone, you want it to be something where you are working together. Love is not provoked. It thinks no evil. It rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, believes the best, hopes all things, endures. There are, in a marriage, you're going to endure. You're just going to have to endure. As children, you have to endure. As parents, you have to endure. Just because people are messy, you're going to endure. All right? But love never fails. If we go into it with that attitude, love never fails. You know, I'm reminded of the phrase circling the wagons. Have you guys ever heard of that? Okay, circling the wagons is like, you know, back in cowboy Indian days. Okay, so they had the wagons are going into the in the west and the wild, wild west frontier. And there were times where there's these families and they would go together. And then there'd be people that wanted to stop them. And so what they would do, they were trying to kill them. So what they would do is they'd put the wagons and make this big circle, and they'd hide the women and the children in the inside of the circle, and then they'd point their guns outward to protect this group of people that was traveling together. And as Christians, that's what we're supposed to look like, you know, where we're protecting one another. Our homes, we're supposed to look like that, where, all right, it's us versus the world. But we're going to win, right? But a lot of times what we do is we take our gun and we point it at the other person and shoot. And, it, you know, then there's a problem. Then you don't have a good relationship. or any relationship for that matter. You're now in the Wild West alone. But the point is that is us as Christians. We are to be a force where we are coming together and we're joining arms and we are facing the evil and overcoming and taking people with us and pulling other people to join that circle with us. And in our homes, we're doing the same. We don't want it to be where it is pressure comes and we face each other and start fighting. No, pressure comes and we stand back to back and fight back. Because if we fight each other, guess what? We've got other people fighting us too. We're gone. We lose. But if we are working together, we have a fighting chance of winning and of overcoming. And if our homes are a place where we are fighting together instead of fighting each other, you're gonna win. You're gonna overcome. You're going to see that race that you are running to the end. You're going to get what you want. You're gonna be satisfied. You're gonna be fulfilled. And so that is what we're doing. And if you say to yourself, well, that's not what my marriage looks like, or that's not what my home looks like, so what? It isn't over yet. It's not over yet. You're not dead. You still have time. And so we keep fighting. We don't throw our hands up in the air and say, I surrender, I lost. No, we keep fighting. We keep fighting until we've got the result that was promised by God. And we have all of heaven backing us up. As we do things His way, we have His support and we win. We win. It doesn't matter if you are pitching and you've got a bloody ankle. You won. Nobody cares. You've got the big paycheck. All right? You got the bonus for winning. That's what we're after. That's what our focus is. What is the finish result that we're wanting? Not this little bit. Oh, she hurt my feelings. I'm gonna win. Oh, he is so rude. I'm gonna win. That's what we're after, is winning. We're not in it for the short term. We're in it for the long haul. And we are gonna win. And they will know that we are Christians by our love. And our sphere of influence will explode. It will happen because of the love that is on the inside of us, which is God. It all just kind of all just wraps together. God is love. He never fails. As we walk in that love, we never fail. Faith works by love. All this stuff is all one and the same. And we are walking that out, and we are victorious. And we win. And we come on the other side, and people say, I want what you've got. I like that. There's something different about you, and I want that. And then you have the avenue to share the love of God with someone else and give them the hope that set you free, that truth that made us free, is now available to them. And it's awesome. It's awesome. And God came up with the idea. It's awesome. Oh, it sounds hard. Well, it might be. But you know what? Anything worth having is gonna take effort. And so let's work together. Let's win. Let's overcome. Let's circle our wagons. Take down anything that tries to come against the plan of God. Let's do it.